That Freedom Message train. You're listening to the Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent on BBSRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Exciting news, we are breaking out. This campaign is the real thing. It's official and it's starting to be recognized, although begrudgingly, by the establishment. They're forced to recognize. The Ron Paul Revolution is here, we are real, and people are digging the freedom message. So, let's get into it right away. Our fundraising totals for the quarter just ending on the 30th of September, $5,080,000, a 114% increase over the second quarter fundraising totals. $5,080,000 puts us on a level with many other Democratic and Republican candidates in terms of absolute dollars raised. And in the Republican field, at the same time, we saw a decrease in the totals of many of the so-called first-tier contenders. Romney campaign dropped by, let me get that information for you, something like 40% decrease in fundraising by Mitt Romney. That was a 29% decrease by Mitt Romney, a 40% decrease by Rudy Giuliani, and a 55% decrease in their fundraising by the John McCain campaign. So who has the momentum? Who is contending in this? I would say it's Ron Paul, the Ron Paul Revolution, the Ron Paul campaign. It's happening right now for us. We have the momentum. Now the campaign has gotten pretty optimistic and has set the bar quite high for fundraising for this quarter. And on the website, in place of that thermometer widget that they had up before, they now have a Liberty statue widget with a goal. If you look at the RonPaul2008.com right now, goal of $12 million raised by December 31st. And a goal for the month of October of $4 million with 28 days left to do it. Right now we're at $72,310.61. This does not appear to be a widget that updates automatically the way the other one did, from what I can tell. But maybe you can refresh the page. That doesn't seem to make any difference. So October, $4 million. Again, that's a pace of $1 million a week. And I think that we're counting on exponential growth in the membership in the Ron Paul Revolution. Perhaps we can be optimistic about that as well, because the total number of Ron Paul supporters as measured by membership at ronpaul.meetup.com. ronpaul.meetup.com is now, as of today, surpassing 50,000. 50,000 members in our meetup membership. Over $5 million raised in the quarter. I would say that by all legitimate measures, the Ron Paul Revolution is taking off like a rocket. So, excuse me, but to heck with those so-called polls which measure 2% support for Ron Paul and his freedom message. I know when I go out on the streets, what I encounter is quite significantly more than a 2% support. So, the mainstream, or I should rather say establishment media, the old media, the bought for, paid for, in the hip pocket of the elitists media, is being forced to recognize by our efforts, by our actions, those the supporters of the freedom message, they are being forced to recognize that we are a force in the American political landscape. So I'm going to play you this clip from MSNBC, and this is amazing. This reporter is sticking in her throat. She can barely get the words out, and she is forced to admit that we are on the scene and happening, but at the same time, she throws out, she does her dirtiest best to disparage Dr. Paul by calling him an isolationist twice, and she really punches it up. Listen to how she punches up. Isolationist? He's an isolationist? Oh, he, whatever that is. I mean, you know, people don't even know what that means. They just hear isolation. He wants isolation. Oh, my God. That doesn't sound good. You know, I mean, that's what they're counting on. They're counting on stupidity and knee-jerk reactions to a word. Excuse me, miss. I don't know what your name is. It's not isolationist. It's non-interventionist. Okay? Get it straight. I'm going to play this for you anyway. It's worth listening to.
Ron Paul, a congressman from Texas, switching gears here, who, of course, is running for the Republican nomination. He is an isolationist, and we have just learned here at NBC News that Ron Paul has raised more than $5 million in this past quarter in his race for the presidency. The campaign telling NBC News that the last quarter was a $40 average donation, and that trend appears to have continued. Too many of you have been following the politics and the debates here on MSNBC. We know that Ron Paul, of course, is an isolationist, and of course also wants to, I believe, abolish the IRS and get rid of taxes. Jonathan Alter, Newsweek magazine, joins us on this news. John, this is significant for a man that many people sort of consider a gadfly.
It is significant, Nora. What it suggests is that Ron Paul is going to be in this thing for the duration. He will have the money to at least run some kind of a campaign in all these primary states. And with the Republican field so unsettled, no clear front runner, a lot of indications that this thing is going to go into the spring, Ron Paul will be in all those debates, and he'll be a presence all the way through as the other lesser candidates drop out.
Jonathan, what strikes me, of course, and what many people is this is a significant amount of money for someone who many people don't put in the front runner category, and we have not yet received the fundraising numbers from Senator John McCain, but we know he has had fundraising problems, but that he might raise about $5 million. How would this look for Senator McCain if someone like a congressman from Texas named Ron Paul can raise as much money as Senator John McCain?
Well, the expectations for McCain's fundraising have already been blasted to smithereens by his failures in previous quarters. I think within the political world, there's been an understanding for some months now that Ron Paul's libertarian message really sells on the internet. And most of this money has been raised online. There's more where it came from. It's not big money. It's not sort of Romney-style money, much less the Democrats who are, you know, raising $70, $80 million, the front runners. But it's enough to make him a player and to give him a place in all of these debates, and that is very significant, Nora.
All right, Jonathan Alter, thank you very much for your expertise and on that breaking news.
So there you have a little bit from MSNBC. It was a breaking story. Excuse me, let me pause this. It was a breaking story. So this woman was caught. Okay. She was caught completely by surprise. And she was virtually, if you watch the video, she was almost choking on it. Almost, it's really quite precious. It's really quite wonderful to see these establishment hacks. Hacks just choking on our success, just choking on the fact that their time is over. O-B-E-R, done. You're done. You are done, establishment media. The new media is taking over. The Ron Paul revolution is here. You are done. The fear in your voice is delicious to us. We love it. Thank you very much. A gadfly. An isolationist, but forced to recognize that we are here and we are real. We are. Ron Paul is now a player, that he has earned a place in all the debates, that this is a significant development. Okay? They were forced to say this. They have no choice. Now let's continue that. Let's give them absolutely no choice but to recognize that we are here and we are serious and that people love Dr. Paul and they love the freedom message. So, let's go to a little bit more of the... this is very fresh news. This all of this just broke very recently in the last hour. Let's see. We've got on ABC News blog site, Paul, I haven't read this, so I'm just going to read it for you for the first time with you. Paul raises jaw-dropping $5 million. ABC News' Z. Byron Wolf reports, it dominated headlines yesterday when Senator Hillary Clinton, Democrat New York, announced her campaign juggernaut had outpaced all rivals in the campaign fundraising horse race with a $27 million haul in the third quarter. Today's fundraising announcement by Representative Ron Paul, the Republican Libertarian OBGYN from Texas, doesn't involve quite as much money, but is downright jaw-dropping. His campaign is revealing today that in the third quarter, Paul raised $5,080,000. This is more than double his second quarter figure of $2.4 million, and no small sum for an insurgent campaign. Comparatively, Paul's Q3 figure is five times what was raised in the same period by GOP rival Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who is often given a better chance at the party nomination by political pundits. It puts Paul in the same fundraising neighborhood as top-tier Republican candidates like Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona. Paul has become the buzz candidate with his hearty and vocal supporters, omnipresent on the internet and at campaign events. But Paul's strict libertarianism, he is as vocal in his opposition to the Iraq War as he is in his support for the Second Amendment, could hurt him with the GOP base who will ultimately choose the Republican nominee. So, all in all, not a bad article, forced again to recognize that something is happening. They couldn't simply just ignore it. That would be too obviously biased. So they're forced to recognize that something is happening here. Forced to recognize that we've raised five times what Huckabee has raised. That we're in the same tier with John McCain, a supposed first-tier candidate. Of course, they can't help but throw in a barb somewhere that libertarianism, it's going to hurt them. You know, anything that they can do at any time just to sour the milk, you know. But so what? As we go, we're going to continue to oblige them to to recognize the legitimacy of Ron Paul and his freedom message. Okay, this is from something called The New Liberty. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. I agree with that. So here's a little piece that I don't know where it came from, but I'll read it anyway. Ron Paul, bigger news than a landslide, $5 million bigger. I turned my TV on this afternoon. MSNBC's Nora O'Donnell, that must have been who we were just speaking, listening to, Nora O'Donnell, was on covering the San Diego landslide. All of a sudden, oh, there's been a landslide in San Diego. I'm Paul. I hope everyone in San Diego is fine. I'm sorry to hear that. All of a sudden, she interrupted the scene of destruction for bigger breaking news. The Ron Paul campaign announced that it had raised $5 million in the third quarter. The news seemed to shake Nora up like a geologic disturbance. She seemed stunned. In fact, I noticed that, and I reported that to you, referring to Ron Paul twice as an isolationist. It's almost comical. A word that useful idiots of the empire use, since the word non-interventionist is not in their limited vocabulary. And then here's the campaign press release. Okay, I'll read the official campaign press release. The Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign raised $5,080,000 during the third quarter of 2007. That is an impressive 114% increase from the second quarter. Cash on hand for the Paul campaign is $5,300,000. Dr. Paul's message is freedom, peace, and prosperity, said Paul campaign chairman Kent Snyder. As these fundraising numbers show, more Americans each day are embracing Dr. Paul's message. Ron Paul's 114% increase is in stark contrast to the decrease suffered by Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, and John McCain. Romney's fundraising was down 29%, Giuliani was down 40%, and McCain was down 55%. Okay, let's see what else we got here for you. I think there's another report. CNN, politicalblogger.blogs.cnn.com. And what happened to it? I got to scroll around here to find it for you. Something about here we go. Paul's fundraising shock. Ron Paul raked in an impressive fundraising total. He's locked in low single digits in most polls. Well, they have to point that out right from the very beginning in your own phony polls, of course, okay. But Texas Representative Ron Paul raised more than $5 million for his presidential bid in the third quarter, roughly equal to or just short of several of his higher-profile rivals. Dr. Paul's message is freedom, peace, and prosperity, Paul campaign chairman Kent Snyder said in a statement announcing the total. As these fundraising numbers show, more Americans each day are embracing Dr. Paul's message. Paul's fundraising total is 114% increase. Okay, it just repeats pretty much what we've already got. And is also only $2 million shy of what Democratic White House hopeful John Edwards raised during the same period. It is also roughly equal to the fundraising totals of Arizona Senator John McCain and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. Good. Well, the number to call into the show is 877-270-8714. 877-270-8714. If you notice, I haven't been giving the number out recently because we have been working to integrate the telephone system into our audio production setup. So now it has been done. So I would love to get your call and hear how you feel about the news today, about the fundraising totals and the new fundraising goals. 877-270-8714 or anything else that you would like to talk about. I'd just like to hear from you. Love to take your call. How you feel about Dr. Paul? How you feel about the show? Any questions you may have? Any statements you'd like to make? Anything that you've been up to? Whether in support of Ron Paul or if you completely disagree with me and you think Ron Paul is just the worst thing that ever happened to this country and could ever possibly happen, then I wouldn't mind taking that call either. Doesn't matter to me. Let's just talk about it. 877 877-270-8714. Give me a shout. Let's test out this new equipment. 877-270-8714. So, yesterday I played for you a piece from Judge Andrew Napolitano, where he virtually gave an endorsement to Dr. Ron Paul. And I indicated that there is this trend now where we're seeing more of these statements from more people. We had Bill Maher, we had Judge Napolitano, and today we have Charles Goyette on the Lou Dobbs show, making similar statements. He makes statements which sound like they came straight out of Dr. Paul's mouth. I mean, this is someone who's been listening to Dr. Paul and listening to the Freedom Message. And so we're going to go ahead and play this. We're going to play this clip from Charles, from Lou Dobbs' show, with Charles Goyette on the show. And then we're going to take a call from a caller, Kathy. So just hold on, Kathy. We're going to play this first. And here we go.
Gentlemen, I'd like to start with Governor Spitzer, who has managed to raise quite a bit of controversy with his action to open up driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And
you know, Kitty, I think all of this stuff is headed toward a national ID card. I'm very, very sad to say that. I believe that's where we're going. And it is a concomitant, it is an inevitability with the national security state that the Republicans and the Democrats have ushered in this country with the Patriot Act and more. We're headed toward a national ID card. We're headed to being vassals or serfs of the state. And I've looked at the field of presidential candidates. There's only one guy who's outspoken against this kind of stuff, and it's Congressman Ron Paul. He's been against this idea of a national security state for a long time, and he's starting to look more and more attractive with each passing day.
No,
they're all trying to reinvent themselves. None of them have any core beliefs. There's nothing you can depend on. This is like George W. Bush running in 2000 for a more modest foreign policy. There is nothing any of them believe in other than trying to get a monopoly on some kind of power in Washington. This brings us back to Ron Paul once again, who says, I'm not running for president because I want to tell you what to do with your life. I'm running for president because I want to back the government out of your life and out of your affairs. You know, these people sell off a little bit of themselves each time they stick out their hand and they agree to do something for somebody to collect the money. And by the time they're in office, there's nothing left. No wonder they have no core beliefs. Slice by slice by slice, they sell themselves away. Hillary is no different. We are faced with a really, really tough challenge of people here that want to expand the war, continue to ruin brand name America, and decapitalize this country. And I think it's time the American people wake up to the whole bunch of them, the R's and the D's alike.
Oh, for it. Go ahead.
Well, let me just tell you, I think Obama has given himself too much credit for his opposition to the war. It was very convenient for him to say that he opposed it before he was elected. But since he has been a United States senator, he has fallen right in line on every vote to continue the war, authorize the war. His voting record on the war is identical to Hillary Clinton's. It's not as though there was ever a proposal to strand those Americans halfway around the world and leave them, but the war needs to be stepped down and defunded, and he hasn't done anything to get it done.
And gentlemen, we'll leave it there.
Well, there you have it. Charles Goyette, a radio show, talk show host in Phoenix, KFNX. Charles Goyette on the Lou Dobbs show. He sounds like a supporter of Dr. Ron Paul to me. That sounded pretty darn near to an endorsement to me. I don't know what that sounded like to you, but we're hearing this more and more and more and more. We are gaining momentum. We are hitting critical mass. We are right at the point of breaking out and taking this thing supernova. So, folks, time to step it up. Time to pour it on. Pour it on. Everything we got. If we do it, we give it all right now, we're going to win this thing. We are going to win this thing, and we are going to take this country back. So let's go ahead and see if we got Kathy there on the line. Are you there, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, Kathy, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I want to say that he's made tremendous strides since he's begun his speeches, and he said, getting more and more confident. And I've got to say that the people are waking up to his message now.
Absolutely. We're seeing it. We're seeing it among just people.
Yeah, with our signs and with things that people are getting. I'm getting a banner in the back of my car. It's going to be a billboard. I thought I'd send it to you. And it's the one that's going to say Ron Paul President with a flag in the background. It's beautiful. It's going to be some eye-opener.
Well, thanks so much for all you do. And you know, it's really making a difference because you're right. People are opening their eyes to Dr. Paul. More and more people come up to me every day when I'm in my car or wearing my T-shirt and make comments about him. It happens all the time. And now you get these radio talk show hosts. You heard the clip I just played, right?
Right. Prominent people are stepping
prominent,
up to the plate now.
Exactly. And they're speaking their minds and they're losing their fear of sounding, I can't support this guy, I can't say anything positive because then I'm going to look stupid. But now they're losing that fear. And you know what? They fear more than the possible consequences of stepping up for Ron Paul. They fear what is happening to this country. Both Mr. Goyette that we just heard, this radio talk show host in Phoenix, and yesterday Judge Napolitano, in both of those cases, they all pointed out to the police state. And what the national ID card and the police powers and the Patriot Act and the dictatorial totalitarian police state powers that the government is giving itself. They are recognizing that what Dr. Ron Paul is saying about the freedom message is absolutely true, dead spot on, and needs to be supported and needs to be heard. And that's what they're talking about. So they're getting over that fear and they're stepping up for Ron Paul. It's very encouraging.
Yeah, it is encouraging. I just want to, can I mention an event we're having Saturday, or is that a line?
No, go for it.
Well, this Saturday, first thing we're going to do is meet up at the IMAX Theater at 2 p.m., and we're going to meet up with the picnickers there. We're going to be having our literature to pass out, and from there, from 2 to 3, and then 4, we're going to march on down to the Coliseum and meet up with the USC football fans and see how that goes with them.
That's,
and how kind of response we're going to get.
That's fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. And then, of course,
everybody in L.A. land can come out there.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to get that word out there for you. Anybody in L.A., turn out. Anybody in Southern California, you got to drive sometime to get to these events, but come on down. I don't care where you got to come from. Come to Kathy's event in Los Angeles. Give the location where you're meeting again, Kathy.
Oh, it's the IMAX Theater. It's on Figueroa, and it's at the USC. It's on Figueroa. It's in the complex there.
Okay.
The complex.
Okay, yeah, near, what's your meetup number?
326.
Meetup 326, ronpaul.meetup.
326.
Okay, ronpaul.meetup.com/326. Go there, and I'm sure you get all the directions and everything posted up there, right?
Right.
And what time is that on Saturday?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. Perfect. Yeah. Everyone turn out for Kathy's rally for Ron Paul and help her out with that. This is the kind of thing that we need to be doing. Absolutely everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now needs to be doing similar things. And we all need to be supporting on October 13th, the following Saturday, the All-America Walk for Ron Paul's Freedom Message. We need walks in support, public demonstrations of support for Dr. Paul's freedom message in every city and every state across the country. A nationally coordinated, massive demonstration of Ron Paul support. Please join in. Go to ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and find the link to the All-America Walk in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with that. Okay, Kathy, anything else you want to add?
No, we know we're going to win, and that's all we got to think of.
Oh, yeah, we're on the road. There's no doubt about it now. We've got momentum, and we got money now, too.
Yeah.
We got cash, momentum, people, love, and passion, and we got God on our side. We got it all going on. So I would say to the establishment, and to the money hungry, grubbing, corrupt elite, hey, your time is over. We're taking this country back. Isn't that right, Kathy?
That's for sure. We're standing up as true patriots.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, anytime the phone's open, give a ring, whatever, okay?
I sure will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Kathy from Los Angeles, thanks for your call. If you want to call in and share whatever you want to share, ask whatever you want to ask, state whatever you want to state, put something on the record, 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Don't be shy. 877-270-8714. Let me see what else I got for you here today. Okay, I mentioned that we're now at 50,000 supporters in the Ron Paul meetups, ronpaul.meetup.com. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you think you might want to support Ron Paul for president, please, friend, if you're not already in a meetup, and not only in a meetup, active in the meetup, because being in a meetup doesn't do no good if you don't get active with it. Okay, lots of people in these meetups are sitting around doing nothing. Clicking their mouse around on the screen, adding a comment on a YouTube page, you know, is nice, is good, okay, that's great, but we need a whole lot more. We need what Kathy's doing, okay? We need what she's doing. We need people like that right now. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean now. We have tops 96 days to work with before the next primary. That time goes by in a blink of an eye. This is a tiny window of opportunity. We got to seize it. We got the momentum. We got all the potential. We got to get active. We got to get out there. We got to be out there in every way that we can. Now, not everybody can do everything. Some people don't feel comfortable talking to other people. So what? You can stand on a street corner with a sign. Anybody can do that. You can pass out a piece of literature, just put out your hand and say, Ron Paul for president, let people take it. You don't have to talk to them, just let them take it. You can walk down the street with a sign on October 13th with your meetup or with any group of people that you can put together. You can walk down the street with a sign that says, Ron Paul for president, whatever you want it to say. You can do that. Lots of things you can do. Or maybe you don't want to walk down the street. Maybe you don't want to be in public. You can make phone calls. You can call into talk radio shows and say, hey, did you just hear that Ron Paul raised over $5 million in the third quarter? Did you hear that? That's amazing. There must be something going on with this guy if people have given him his money. I heard the average donation was only $40. That means a whole lot of people giving a little bit of money. That really impresses me. Call into a talk radio show and talk that up with people. Especially call one of these neocon shows and blow it in their face. Why not? Have some fun. Anything you can do to get the word out. Put a bumper sticker on your car. Paint your car windows up. RonPaul2008.com. Tons of things anybody can do. Pick something, do it, and do it a lot, and do it as much as you can. We got to take this country back. We're guaranteed. Guaranteed. As sure as you are going to die someday, as sure as the sun will come up tomorrow, we are guaranteed war, world war, war with Iran, nuclear weapons. We are guaranteed financial catastrophe. The dollar is plunging. We are in a debt bubble and a debt crisis that is just unfolding right now in front of our eyes. We are guaranteed financial catastrophe. We are guaranteed war. We are guaranteed total dictatorship. That's what they're after. They're after power, and they're after money. And if we don't stop them with the Ron Paul revolution, if we don't get Ron Paul elected, we don't make a significant dent in this juggernaut of tyranny, then baby, we are cooked. We are done as a nation. Stick a fork in us, North American Union, here we go. Forget about the dollar. You're going to get the Amero. You're going to get no borders. You're going to get war and dictatorship. You're going to get everything you don't want if you don't get off your butt and do something for Ron Paul right away. I mean now. We do not have time to wait. Don't have any time. Okay? We get a minimum of 3 months I should say maximum of 3 months to make this party happen. Let's get on the ball, people. Next big thing, October 13th, All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message. Get it together. Make it happen. Join up. Now, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to motivate you. I'm just trying to get you in gear. Because there's too many of us sitting on the sideline. Too many of us show up once a month. Maybe you sit, go to a coffee house and meet up with some other Ron Pauls. You sit around and talk about how great Ron Paul is and you go home. That's it. That's what you did for the month for Ron Paul. Cannot continue. Cannot continue. Okay? I mean, I'm talking every day you got to be doing something for Ron Paul in some way, shape, or form. Okay? Hey, minimum once a week, show up at a sign waving. Get up on a corner, busy street corner, and wave a sign for Ron Paul. Listen to those honks of support as you stand up there. You will hear unbelievable. You'll be out there half hour, you'll get 10 people honking at you, at least, minimum. Honking at you, raising their thumbs up, and you're shouting, Ron Paul, out the window. It's going to blow your mind. Get out there. It's good for you. Feels good. It's fun. We got to get on it, baby. We got to get on it. Okay. Let's see what else I got for you here. Well, Rand Paul, who is the son of Dr. Ron Paul. Get a little piece of audio with him. Let's go ahead and listen to what Rand Paul has to say. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, just a little bit of it, so I'll be listening to it for the first time with you. So let's give this a spin.
He has garnered all sorts of attention in the internet media. He's getting more attention now in the mainstream media. I'm talking about the presidential candidate, the Republican presidential candidate, Dr. Ron Paul. He has been recently up in the state of New Hampshire. Of course, New Hampshire has one of the earliest primaries in the nation. And we have on the line with us his son, Mr. Rand Paul. Rand, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you. We're having a good time up here in New England.
Well, what kind of reception are you getting there from the folks in that area?
Well, we had a huge turnout in Manchester. About 800 volunteers showed up and 30 family members on Saturday, and we had a big rally in Manchester.
Now, I heard that, what's this I hear about your family releasing an album on iTunes?
Well, they did have a really neat little ballad they've been singing for the last 20 or 30 years called the Ron Paul Ballad. And two of my sons played guitar with it, and a niece and a nephew sang the song. And, yeah, I think they are going to release some of these things on DVD. I don't know if they've been signed up for any record labels yet.
Well, I know that you've had a tremendous amount of response in your last two bids for fundraisers, $500,000 and $1 million. I mean, you raised that really quickly. Do we have any idea when the third quarter fundraising results are going to be released?
I would say probably this week sometime, but I don't know for certain. I do know that all indications that everybody seems to be saying is that it's easily going to beat the second quarter, and who knows, it might double the second quarter. I mean, it's going to be big, and the last $1 million was raised in 1 week's time. They were ambitious and going to raise $500,000 in a week, and they raised that in 3 days, so they changed their target to $1 million, and they raised $1 million in 7 days.
Now, this is sort of flying in the face of the Republican establishment. They're pretty much loath to even mention your dad's campaign if they can get away with it. Who are the people that are supporting your dad's candidacy? Are they the Republicans that are just ignoring the national party, or where are these? What are the demographics?
Well, I think they're from all over, but I think there's a significant part of the Republican Party that's upset that George W. Bush has added $2 trillion to the national debt in 7 years, that the old ideas of fiscal conservatism have gone out the window. George Bush hasn't vetoed a bill, and the Republican Congress have sent him enormous spending bills. So Republicans have lost their way, but there's still quite a few of us who live out in the countryside who are Republicans who want a fiscal conservative, and they don't believe a lot of the other candidates anymore.
Now, we have heard recently that Hillary Clinton has stated that she has no intention of pulling the troops out of Iraq. It sounds pretty much like it's going to be steady as she goes and the status quo, even if a Democrat does take the White House. What is your
that's good about that for us is that in New Hampshire, a third of the voters are Republican, a third are Democrat, and a third are independent. And we want to persuade those independents to vote in the Republican primary, and fully 60 to 70% of those independents are against the war. So if we can persuade the independents to come over to our party and vote in our primary for Ron Paul, kind of like they did for McCain in 2000. McCain won in New Hampshire in 2000 because he got a large independent block of votes. If Ron Paul can do that in a nine-way race, I don't think it's unthinkable that we could pull a big upset up here in New Hampshire.
Why is Ron Paul against the war in Iraq?
Well, several reasons. Number one, he thinks we should never fight war unless Congress declares war like they were constitutionally mandated. And it was interesting that my dad is on the International Affairs Committee. He was on the International Affairs Committee, and when this came up, he demanded that they declare war and have a vote on it. And the chairman of the committee, who's a Republican, said...
I think we just lost you, Rand. Can you hear me? All right. We must have lost his phone call. He will call back as soon as he has a another connection. Rand, are you back on with us?
I am back.
Okay. So your dad asked Congress to issue a declaration of war for the president, and what happened?
Well, the ranking Republican on the committee said that that argument is an anachronism and that part of the Constitution, we don't even pay attention to that. Ranking Democrat on the committee said that you're making this into a frivolous argument. We're not going to discuss that.
We have no idea why Congress will not declare war.
I think that they want to continue to fight wars without authorization because it's easier to fight wars that way. But my father's point is if you do that, you don't commit the entire will of the nation to the battle, and we end up like in Vietnam and Korea without the commitment of the nation.
Now, one of the things that I hear most about the Ron Paul campaign is that they're not sure about his position when it comes to war at all. Is your dad a pacifist? Will your dad, if asked by Congress, if he's given a declaration of war, what is his philosophy?
Declaration of war is definitely a function of Congress, and it was intended to be so. But if it were declared by war, he would fight it to its fullest the way the Constitution intends. The point about Iraq is that not only was it done unconstitutionally, but there's an additional point to the Iraq war, and that's that they didn't attack us and weren't even in a position to attack us. In fact, they were so weakened through 10 years of bombing, they probably couldn't have invaded Kuwait again. But the point is that he did vote to go into Afghanistan. The terrorists were mostly from Saudi Arabia. There was good evidence they trained in Afghanistan, and Ron Paul did vote to go into Afghanistan.
What is your dad's position with regards to nation building?
He's opposed to it, and he likes to quote George W. Bush, because George W. Bush in the debates in 2000 said that he was for a humble foreign policy and not into nation building. The problem with nation building is, one, other countries resent us the longer we're there, and two, it practically just doesn't work, and it's enormously expensive. I mean, the Muslims in Iraq still commemorate a massacre in Karbala in the year 900 A.D., You know, there's been pundits who have said Americans forget everything and Muslims remember everything. We're not going to be able to have policemen, American policemen, running around Baghdad and get them to get along. They're going to have to gradually evolve into a type of democracy that they choose.
Well, what about this war on terror? What about the fact that if we don't fight them over there, we'll have to fight them over here?
Well, I think you can, that's an easy sort of platitude to say that, but the problem is that the more we're over there, the more they come over here. You know, they're motivated, and they'll tell you why they're motivated. They're motivated by mostly one of the biggest, there's three items they'll usually mention, but one of the biggest items they'll mention is the occupation. And see, George Bush's plans are for four permanent bases, plus a embassy that is essentially a military base, 40-foot walls, two sets of 40-foot walls, 100 feet apart, and basically a fortress inside that has water and food and munitions for a year's time.
40
foot. It's not really kind of a living in a country where they want us. That's living in a country where you're unwanted.
Two 40-foot walls?
Yeah, spaced 100 feet apart. It's going to be bigger than the Vatican. It's going to cost $592 billion. So, I mean, there's a lot of conservative reasons to oppose things like this. It's enormously expensive, and we're running huge deficits at home already. And the other conservative reason to oppose it is look at it. The Shiites so hated Hussein that they liked us for about 3 weeks. And as soon as Hussein was gone, now we're the new evil there, and the Shiites hate us. Nearly as much as Hussein.
So what would be your dad's foreign policy? He says we need a new foreign policy. What would that look like?
Well, basically, he believes that the Constitution has very limited powers for the federal government. But the primary role of the federal government is national defense. So he believes in a strong national defense. It would probably consume most of a Ron Paul budget. But the budgets would be so much smaller than they are today because he wouldn't have 700 bases around the world. The real debate is that the federal government should be involved with national defense. It's the primary function of the national government. But we have to have a debate around our country as to what is national defense, what is an appropriate national defense.
Now, that's one thing that I might go for. Well, you think your dad would be open to the idea of copying George Bush's plan for the 240-foot walls and putting them on the southern border?
Yeah, well, he did vote for the wall there, and I know he uses in his speeches, he'll tell you that we recently sent 150 border guards to Iraq to guard the Syrian border, and he's like, you know, we have the gall to tell Syria they can't do a very good job with their border when we're doing nothing to our border. So he is for enforcement of the border. You know, the federal government has very few functions. One's national defense, one is the border, and one is the federal court system, and they're not supposed to do much beyond that.
You're listening to The David Allen Show. We are talking with Rand Paul. He is the son of Republican presidential candidate in the primaries, Dr. Ron Paul. And we're talking about, well, how the campaign's going in general, some of the foreign policy ideas of the candidate. I know the fundraising numbers are going to be coming out pretty soon. Have you got any inkling of how they compare with the other candidates?
Well, I think we will have raised more than all the other so-called second-tier candidates combined, which I think really makes us a first-tier candidate. After the second quarter, we had more money on hand than McCain, and I think this time again we're going to have more money on hand than McCain. The interesting thing is we may have more money on hand than Romney if you discount the $10 million that Romney's given to his campaign. So Romney's not really raising that great of money or that much more than Ron Paul necessarily, but he's giving himself a lot of money. McCain's campaign's on the way out. I don't think he is so unpopular in the Republican primaries, getting nowhere because of his position on immigration.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk to Rand Paul about Ron Paul's position with regards to the economy, the Federal Reserve, the people's taxes that they're paying. What are we going to do about that? So stay tuned for more here on The David Allen Show. So what is it about the Republican Party that they don't seem to be advocating the values of traditional Republicans? Smaller government, less taxes, more freedom. You know, to hear the mainstream Republicans talk, you would think that, well, they sound more like Democrats from maybe 10 years ago. We're talking with the son of presidential candidate Ron Paul, Mr. Rand Paul. Rand, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you.
Now, here locally in Jacksonville, Florida, we have a Republican mayor, Republican city council. Recently, we now have three new fees. Actually, they're taxes. They like to call them fees. One of them is the stormwater drainage fee. We're not really quite sure what it's for. We just know that they authorized it. We don't know how much it's going to be, and they've told us they have no idea how they're going to figure it up. Have you ever heard such of a thing?
Yeah, the first part of it is that the newspeak is they're fees, not taxes, but call them what they are, they're taxes. The second thing is all this stormwater stuff comes from the federal government and its mandates, and they'll say, oh, our hands are tied, we can't do anything. And the federal government does bribe them. They say, we won't give you any federal funds unless you do these things. But then the money and the cost goes to the local taxpayer. But like in our local community in Kentucky, we just got a $1 million hit on this stormwater. And the guy that runs the program told me that over half of the money is not even spent digging ditches and draining water. It has little to do with that. He says it's promotional items, education, math. It's a lot of fluff that really has nothing to do. And you know what? Part of the legislation was passed with the Clean Water Act, and Republicans in Congress and Democrats and everybody up there, they're afraid of their shadow. So when anything says clean water, nobody wants to vote against clean water. But they don't realize it involves all these mandates and all this, the onus of these taxes on local communities.
So do you think that the federal government is going to, like, send in the army if people in local communities say, yeah, forget it, we're not paying it?
I wish there would be a revolt. It would be really sort of a massive revolt for local communities to do it. But there are, you'll find them all afraid of their own shadow on this. And this is the way they bullied the states into the 55-mile-an-hour. They bullied the states into the 21 for the drinking age and things like that. They did it by saying, we'll take away your highway funds.
Well, let's say that the votes on the internet polls, that the bumper sticker people, that the banners that are put out by people, they have an impact, and we actually see Sean Hannity have to eat his words and say, President Paul. What would an administration of President Paul look like? What is his philosophy? Is he going to introduce a lot of new bills or have an agenda? How would you describe it?
Well, he truly believes that in the last 50 to 100 years, too much power has been usurped by the executive branch. So he wants the legislative branch to have its original position as being a very dominant and strong branch and not a weak and a submissive type of branch. So you'd see a Ron Paul that would say, and he says this in his speeches, his first executive order would be to repeal all previous executive orders, and he would issue no further executive orders. Orders and legislation should come from the Congress. The other thing George W. Bush has abused is he does these signing statements. Congress will pass legislation, and then George Bush and his team will write 20 pages of his own opinion of the legislation, staple it to the legislation, and he basically translates and interprets and makes the legislation into what he thinks the legislation was. And this is wrong. It should be Congress that writes legislation, not the president.
Now, what about the national IDs, the Real ID Act? You know, here next year, I guess we're supposed to start filling out our applications for our IDs. What's your dad's position with regards to having a centralized identification database?
He's absolutely opposed to it. He thinks in a free society you don't track your own citizens' movements within the country. And, he fears that something like this could lead to where they're tracking people every moment of their life, looking to try to capture every tax dollar they could possibly get their hands on. And he's absolutely opposed to it. But you'd also see in a Ron Paul presidency just a much smaller government. He wants to repeal the income tax, and most people throw up their hands and say, oh, what would we do without an income tax? He's talking about, he's an anarchist. Well, do you realize that if you introduce the budget, the federal budget from 2000 next year, you'd have a balanced budget without the income tax? Because the budget has grown so much from 2000 to 2007 that just going back to a budget 7 years ago would make the government 20 to 30% smaller.
Wait a second. Let me make sure I understand what you just said. If in 2000, let's say in a Ron Paul presidency, he submitted a budget that was the same amount of money that was in 2000, the year 2000, 8 years ago, that it could be financed with the revenue coming into the government without any income tax paid by the people?
That's what I've been told. I haven't plugged all the numbers, but I have also been told that the income tax accounts for a third of receipts.
Yeah,
so it's not really the entire federal government's based on income tax, and it never was the intention of the founding fathers to have individual working people paying 50% of the income in income taxes. No one ever intended that, and Ron Paul wants just a much smaller government. But he'll also tell you that Republicans, they like to vote against tax increases and actually have been pretty good about voting for tax reductions over the last several years. But you have to have the guts to vote against the spending. If you're not going to vote against the spending, just voting for tax reductions does make the deficit worse. And Ron Paul thinks we should balance budgets. He would also promise never to sign any budget that's not balanced. Now, they could override him, and they might override him, but can you imagine the wonderful public debate of a president refusing to sign an unbalanced budget and making it as simple as that? Send me a balanced budget, I won't sign it. I think you might even get a Congress that's more liberal like we have it now to capitulate under the pressure of passing a balanced budget.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of the show today. Rand, I want to thank you for being on the program. Where can people go to find out more about your dad and his campaign?
RonPaul2008.com.
All right. Rand, again, thank you for being on the David Allen Show today. I look forward to talking with you again soon and maybe seeing you here in Florida.
But we may be coming down to Jacksonville. I've got a brother-in-law there, and there's a big Ron Paul meetup group down there, so we'd like to come down. I think there is plans in the next several weeks maybe for Ron Paul to be in Jacksonville.
All right. Well, take care. We'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. Rand Paul on the David Allen Show. Very interesting interview. He certainly speaks well. You know, I think that I've seen him speak before. I've had, you know, a positive impression of him. It seems that he sincerely holds his father's beliefs, and that if we do run into a situation where, you know, we lose Dr. Paul, it's certainly possible that we have Rand Paul waiting in the wings, and that's very encouraging. So we're going to have to leave you for today. We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest breaking news on the Ron Paul movement, the freedom movement, the freedom message, and the political situation of our nation and our world. And I'll be looking forward to speaking with you, taking your calls, and want to remind you once again that on Saturday the 13th of October, the All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message. Please get behind it and get involved. Visit ronpaulfreedommessage.com, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm going to play you out with a song. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Oops, let's do a different one. Get you another song here. Give me a second. I can't stand this.